Wow. Ha, 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 ha. I feel like Jiminy Cricket, but that's okay. I wanted to thank Jimmy, Joan, and Dawn. And Joan has helped me through the years with my poems, and I truly appreciate it. Okay. For this first poem, I was thinking about the heroism of women. And I was actually hoping that my youngest daughter, Emma, could be here. She was carded on the way in. She's 17, and so she's sitting in at Panera's waiting for me. So. Okay. This is entitled Grow a Pear. Kathy stops me in the hall between classes to say that her adult son, a heroin addict, has run away again and that she has just been diagnosed with dementia. Emma, our youngest, who came out at age 12, says bullshit to the catechism teacher who says homosexuality is a disorder. Virginia, 18, whose father had died years before, stands alone by her mother's casket in an empty funeral parlor in case any visitors appear. Sally, my mother, waiting in the kitchen on weekday mornings with a spatula in her hand and an apron over her work dress, asking if I want pancakes or scrambled eggs before I catch the bus to school. If you really want to grow a pear, try breasts. This is a poem of memory. Carousel. Sweaty with sugar and grime in the long line looping around the carousel, my brother told me snakes live in the belly of the wooden merry-go-round horses, and that if I put my hand in the mouth of one as I rode, a snake would dart out between the horse's large yellowing teeth, curling lips, and bite me. 50 years later, I still move gingerly as I ride the carousel and reach forward to place my fingers on the horse's lips, then touch my own. Like CJ, I'm thinking of my mother. This poem is entitled Deep Blue Bowl. I think of how I saw my mother again today as I left school. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw her head in profile up above the roof of the college against a sky of azure blue, tiny white wings at her neck like a fluffy collar. She looked so happy, laughing with others whose faces I couldn't see, her face young and radiant, as if she were in a group of high school friends at a dance or football game. And I'm surprised whenever I see her, and I've seen her a few times since she died in November, how happy she is without me. Really, I want to say? You left me with boxes of photos and no one to call who will be interested in my day down to its tiniest detail. I want to be somebody's child again, consoled and loved. As you grow younger, I grow older, under this sky, a deep blue bowl. One of the nice things as we come into spring is the promise of gardening again. And this poem is entitled Cooler Hours. I wander out to the balloon flowers, blue and swollen, opening into a haze of focused, determined bees. Once I thought that by my 50s, I would know what I was doing, or at least enough to credibly fake it, so comfortable in my own skin that I would dissolve into the motions of each hour. Slowly, I water the blooms in the heat of late afternoon, when most of the water burns off, but some remains, sustaining them until cooler hours. The last poem is dealing with a trip that I took to visit my middle daughter, who lives in Italy. This is called Santuario di Soviore. Up there, she points, and I stare at the brown gas slicing up the side of the mountain in front of us. I can't believe it's the same as the path we're on now, a mule path we've been on for hours. We should have arrived hours ago at Vernazza. Instead, we walk on a rutted trail littered with stones the size of potatoes, medallions, loaves of bread. I'd asked our hosts for a trail where I could sit like a cow under a tree on a mountain and look at the sea. He paused and he said that I would be a Mucca Fortunata, fortunate cow. For when do cows get to sit on mountains and look at the sea? The path is dusty. Rusted fences rise up in groves of olive trees and beeches. Poppies grow in rock ledges we grip for balance, and clumps of iris stir in the wind. We lean against the mountain as we climb, and when we look out, sea and sky blend together, an immense canvas leaning toward us, one we can step into. A robe of blue thrown over us, like scarves we bought in the market, wrapping them around each other's necks. We are told at the end of the war, at Santuario di Soviore, a pilgrimage site perched atop a mountain several miles back, Nazis rounded up villagers and shot them along a line of trees before retreating north. We'd sat there on a terrace shaded by a row of chestnuts near the church where a wooden statue of a stout Mary holds her skinny, blood-stained son across her lap as calmly as if he were a doll she could lift safely into a crib. Utter quiet. Even with a few other hikers smoking, eating ice cream near the pink-plastered sanctuary spread out behind us. Light pricking through leaves barely stirring in cool breezes at the crown of the mountain. Quieted as if a hand were gentling us, calming us under the green haze of leaves. We rested until it was time to go. We nod at the old men who see us weaving down a mountain in early evening, drunk with exhaustion, who say, "Bellissime" to us, "Mucche Fortunate." Thank you.